I felt good. How am I supposed to answer that? How did I feel? Tingly inside? I don't know. Yeah, I got so much out of it. It's crazy. I don't get what you're trying to ask.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me, as always, on Twitter at redrock_bball. We're going to be looking back at Tuesday's five games and then previewing games for Wednesday in the NBA, where we've got a big 11-game slate. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
It is Wednesday, so let's talk about Tuesday's action. Let's talk about Wednesday's games. We'll start by talking where we always do on these shows. Of course, it is the
monstrous line of the night.
Yes, the monstrous line of the night. And today's one goes to
LeBron James.
Yes, LeBron James of the LA Lakers. My audio drop buttons are getting an absolute workout to begin this show. LeBron played 43 minutes for the Lakers in their loss to the Hawks. 28, 11, and 16 with the triple-double. Three triples and three steals. He had a block. He was only 40% from the field on 20 attempts, so a decent negative there. And he was 9 of 11 from the free throw line. LeBron has been nowhere near where he was last season, just 13th in overall per game value, not even talking total value incorporating the missed games. He's scoring less. He's at 1.5 fewer assists per game. He has fewer blocks, worse efficiency from both the field and the line. His true shooting has dipped from 62 down to 59.7%. The 13th ranked player this season. Again, he was 4th last year. This was about the right spot, I thought, to draft him at the end of the first round. He's a little bit under where I would have looked with him. I think I had him 9th or 10th this season. Someone might want to remind me exactly where I did have him, but I think it was around that mark. He has dropped off. Some of that is just fitting in with the new team. And new team, it is a big issue for team. I know Kevin Pelton's done a lot of work on this. When players join new teams, a lot of their numbers do take a bit of a hit. And we're seeing that with LeBron this season. As he has dropped right off, but he's not a first round player for fantasy at this point, just marginally outside that zone. But he was big today, putting up that monstrous line of the night. It wasn't enough for the Lakers to get the victory, though. Let's go on to the next one.
Waiver wire line of the night.
Everyone's going to be asking these questions. I got a lot of those questions already. Avery Bradley is the waiver wire line of the night. Braddles played 38 minutes in the Grizzlies' loss to the Spurs. There's your red flag right there. 33 points, a career high, 3 triples, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal on 71% shooting. He took 21 field goal attempts. The next highest was 11. He did not attempt a single free throw. He was at 60% from deep. So a lot of factors there with Bradley. Now, Avery Bradley is the 254th ranked player over the course of this season, playing 30 minutes a night. Last season, he was 183rd, playing 31 minutes a night. The year before that, he was 58th. He shot 46% from the field, but also averaged a completely anomalous 6 rebounds per game. He was at 2.5 last season. He's at 2.7 this year. So a lot of, is this Avery Bradley? Is he back? Well, he hasn't been back at all this season. He wasn't there at all last season. And no, I don't think so. It is literally the best scoring performance of his entire career. It came on a game where Mike Conley was out, so his usage was bumped. It was a horrible distribution of shots from Bickerstaff to give Bradley this much and nobody else get within even 50% of that number. And it's a shit ton of minutes. So I look at Bradley's performance here and it was good. No doubt about that. His previous 4 games, he had totaled up, let's add this up, 24 points. 24 points in his previous 4 games, 33 in this one. The 6 assists, also a little bit anomalous with Conley out. Now, you could make the argument, yeah, Josh, they're going to shut Conley down. Maybe Conley gets hurt at some point. He's ill. They're not going to shut him down from having a runny nose. Maybe at some point that happens. But Bradley is not this shooter. He is a bad shooter, in fact. A really bad and one of the worst starters, if not the worst starter in the NBA. shooting under 40% from the field. That was skewed a little bit by the way he started this season. 41% over the last 2 months is an improvement, but he's not a 70% shooter because literally nobody is. And he didn't get to the free throw line at all. He's averaging 0.5 free throw attempts per game. That is an unsustainable way to be an NBA player as a guard, just not attempting any free throws at all. So yes, a very, very good performance from Bradley. I think we look to add him in 16-team leagues. Would I add him in a 14-teamer? Probably not. There's just so many things about looking at this game that don't seem real. 38 minutes, 33 points, 6 assists, 71% shooting, 27% usage. A lot of things about this game from Bradley don't ring true to me at all. So while it's good, if someone else wants to grab him, by all means, if you want to grab him and think you can sell high, by all means. I think the biggest benefit you're going to get out of this move is someone else grabs him and drops someone way more worthwhile onto the waiver wire and you add that person. So I'm not looking at this as a recurrence of Avery Bradley if he's back or anything like that. They really shouldn't be prioritizing Bradley at all. But of course, the worst coach non-Boylan division in the NBA resides in Memphis, so curious decisions are going to be made. There's some issues there with that, but taking nothing away, even though I've been shitting on him for the last 5 minutes. It was a strong performance from Bradley, but no, I'm not looking at him as a 12-team league ad. The deep leaguer of the night is Isaiah Briscoe of the Orlando Magic. He played 28 minutes, while DJ Augustin only got 20 minutes of action. Only 3 points for Briscoe. He took 4 shots. He hit one of them. It was a 3. But 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block is what got him into that zone. He's rostered in 0% of Yahoo leagues. I've got him in a 30-man league, actually starting him in 30 deep this week, so I'm pretty happy with this performance. And he is seemingly locked into that backup point guard role in Orlando. This is a little bit fluky of a performance, getting these extra minutes over Augustin here. What he can be is like a 16-team league, maybe even 14-team assist streamer. Not a must add, not a sort of ad. Maybe if you need assists at the end of a matchup, you look for him there. He's not a good shooter, 32% from 3, 39% from the field. Not taking any free throws, a really small steal rate, averaging under 3 points per game this season in 13 minutes. But again, over the last month, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 3.5 assists, but it's at 3.5 assists that does really stand out with Briscoe. So in those deeper formats, sure, a backup point guard who has 18 to 20 or 23 minute upside and can get you 4 assists, there's value in him, and that's, I think, what he can bring you. Let's go on to the next one.
Young Gun of the Night.
Young Gun of the Night is Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks. 38 minutes with Jeremy Lin gone now. 22, 6, and 14 for Trae. He had a steal, he had a block, he hit 3 triples. He didn't shoot well, 32% on 19 attempts, 7 of 9 from the field. But the encouraging thing here is those minutes. And with Lin now out of town, are we going to see a lot more minutes from Young? I think yes. I think 38 is in no way realistic. And also Jalen Adams was out of this game. But I think 32 to 33, a more realistic expectation for Young. A top 50 finish from here on out is a distinct possibility. He's averaging 17 and 7.5 for the season. I think he could end the season 20 and 8. I think that's a realistic goal for him with a steal per game and over 2 threes. His shooting has been much better. He couldn't hit threes at the start of the season. And I said that, you know, top 50 the rest of the season is a realistic goal. Well, over the last 2 months, he's the 49th ranked player, so I probably should have looked at that before I spouted that proclamation. He's putting up some strong numbers. Of course, he's a must-roster guy. I don't necessarily know what I think of him as a future all-star or anything like that, but he is showing he can fit in the NBA, and he's going to be a consistent, I believe, top 50 fantasy guy for quite a few years to come. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night is JaVale McGee. The Lakers rotation was very weird yet again. McGee played 13 minutes only. He did get into foul trouble. He had 4 fouls there, but there were other opportunities to bring him back in, and Walton didn't do it in a game where Tyson Chandler was out, where Mike Muscala, the Moose, was allegedly available but didn't play at all due to his ankle injury, and Flamin Mo Wagner played only 5 minutes. It was a curious decision as the Lakers went really, really small basically the whole game. McGee had 6-4 with no other stats on 2 of 3 shooting. I'm not dropping him after this game. It was a little bit of a weird situation. He'd been getting minutes in the 20s, but I get the worry that the Lakers' lineup and rotation is going to be consistently infuriating throughout the rest of this season as they try and figure their shit out, because at the moment, it's not happening. If anyone drops McGee, I'd be very interested in adding him. This was not a good performance, but that factor of the fouls has to absolutely be factored into it. And I think that's what kept those minutes down. And while he was struggling and the team was struggling and they went small, if he didn't get those early fouls, he might have been at 20 or 21 minutes and not looked as putrid as what this overall final line ended up looking. The best net ratings of the day, Shawnee Livingston at plus 112.9 for the Golden State Warriors, while old Kenrick Williams, he was not good for the Pelicans, negative 87. Again, some of that early form from him was unsustainable. They did start a very weird lineup, and we're going to talk Pelicans very soon. Williams, I think, is still a hold at this point, but you know, some of that production, where he wasn't even a top 100 guy when he was putting up these lines and everyone was really getting turgid about it. He wasn't even top 100 in that time, so he might, it's very easy to see how he moves out of 12-team discussions. I still hold at this point, and let's see what happens. But the path to him not being that 12-team league guy is really, really clear. It's opened up right in front, and you can see it. Whether you want to take that path or not, we'll see how that goes. But I'd hold him for at least one more game, but it was not a good performance from old Kenrick Williams. Injury news, nothing of real note today. Klay Thompson did dislocate his finger, but he's fine. He came back into the game and he's going to play on Wednesday. Isaiah Thomas, the big injury news, he's been upgraded to questionable for Wednesday's game. It's going to be interesting to see how they fit him into the rotation. Gary Harris is out, so there's still that opening there. Monty Morris has been unbelievable, and Thomas should not be taking Morris out of the rotation. I think you're going to see Wancho and Torrey Craig taken out, and they'll run a lot more three-guard lineups with Malik Beasley pushing up to the three and Monty Morris to the two. Thomas is not a 12-team ad, in my opinion. He's maybe a 16-team league guy. I just don't see the path to significant minutes to Thomas, who has missed basically 12 months of basketball here. He's not coming in and being a 12-team league guy. So no, don't add him in 12-team leagues, because people have asked that question already. Let's go on to these games now, the five of them, and talk about the ramifications of what went down on Tuesday. The first game, the Lakers and the Hawks. The Hawks win 117-113. Reggie Bullock started his second game for the Lakers. He started his first as well. And this game looked pretty good. 15 points, 5 rebounds, the 2 steals and a block are really nice from Bullock. And that 35 minutes is interesting. As I said, they went really small, so it enabled Bullock to get these minutes. He's played over 30 in each of those two games. Now, as a 30-minute player for the Detroit Pistons, I didn't view him as a 12-team league player. But he is rostered in only 15% of Yahoo leagues, meaning in 16-teamers and in 14-teamers, sure, I would add him and get those threes and generally get high efficiency. You just get very little else from Bullock, but he looks like he's going to have a significant role. We do have to remember Lonzo Ball and Josh the Hitman Hart were out of this game, and they're both guys who take guard minutes, so maybe we're going to see Bullock losing some of that playing time. But of course, there's 15 useless Lance Stephenson minutes in there, which can easily go to those guys. And Rondo played a shit ton in this one as well, which takes me to Rondo, who played 34 minutes. He came off the bench, 13-7-4 with a steal and a block. Now, I do think that Rondo is droppable. And after seeing this game, you go, Josh, what's wrong with you? Why would you drop him after this? And it's not because of this game. I think this was a weird scenario for the Lakers as they went really, really small. And I think some of the small lineups were preordained by Walton because of the alleged availability / unavailability of Muscala and Chandler being out. Well, we're just going to go small here. So that meant more minutes for Rondo. In the previous game, Rondo didn't even get to 20 minutes when they got smacked by the Sixers. So neither of those scenarios are working. But of course, Lonzo has to return. So when Lonzo returns, that was automatically going to cut Rondo down from a 30-minute-a-game guy to maybe a 22 or 23-minute-a-game guy. And now with the addition of Bullock, with LeBron and Ingram playing point guard also, I think it's a real risk that Rondo goes to, say, 16 or 17 minutes a night. And that, to me, if you're making moves, and if you're making moves for now, and yeah, it's the All-Star break, so no one's playing for the next week. But when you're looking ahead for 3 weeks in advance when Lonzo is likely back, I just don't see Rondo being that guy. And if there's a player on the wire that you want to grab or a move you want to make, and same with Kenneth Reed. Yeah, the numbers at the moment are really good, but if you're strong in the playoffs and you're looking for 3 weeks in advance, these are two guys who I think at that point aren't going to be top 100 players. Ingram had 19-6. That was pretty good. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, his hot shooting against Philadelphia didn't carry over. 19 points on 20 shots, which unsurprisingly offered very little else across the fantasy spectrum. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 13 points in 25 minutes. For the Hawks, the Baptist, John Collins, 22-8, strong from him. Vince Carter played 24 minutes. Now, Carter played well. But he was a DMPCD last game. I don't understand the need for him to play 24 minutes, especially when you're playing him as a small forward and Taurean Prince, DeAndre Bembry and Kevin Huerter, neither of those or any of those guys are getting to 30 minutes. That's a bit of a failure in coaching. No, it's a failure in development, I think. They got the win, so it is hard to argue too much with Lloyd Pierce, but you're giving 24 minutes to Vince Carter, and while only giving 16 minutes to Kent Bazemore, it's probably not the best idea, especially playing Carter out of position. Prince had 17-6 with four triples. I think he's a 12-teamer, while the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, had 12-5 with a steal and a block. He is a 12-team league guy as well, but probably on the back end. Bembry was the backup point guard. He had one assist. The two steals are okay there from him, but he's not a 12-teamer. While Huerter, just the 5 points for Big Fanta Pants there. Two assists and two steals for Kev. Didn't shoot the ball well. The minutes were reduced. I am still holding in most cases, but the last couple of games have been pretty disappointing from Big Kevin Huerter. Let's go on to the next game and let's talk Orlando Magic and New Orleans Pelicans. The Magic win massively, 118-88. That is the Magic's third consecutive 10-point victory. Maybe it's fourth consecutive. Let's have a look at that because they have won a massive amount of games in a row by double digits. They're smacking people at the moment. They are one of the hottest teams in the NBA, as weird as that might sound. Let's have a look. They have now won four consecutive games by double digits. They've won five of their last six games by double digits, and they've won six of their last seven games overall. Their last three wins, 20 points against Milwaukee, 16 against Atlanta, and 30 against the Pelicans. So really, really strong from the Magic. Vucevic had 25-17, Aaron Gordon 24-4, and my man John Isaac had a career high 20 points. And the best thing about this, and while it doesn't necessarily mean good things for fantasy, but he didn't shoot like 70% to get there. It was a bad shooting night, 39%. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 triples and 3 blocks. And normally a bloke having 20 points on 18 shots, you go, oh, that's inefficient. And it is. But what it means is he is getting more confident and more trust to have a higher usage. A usage of 30% is massive for John Isaac. He is already, over the last 2 weeks, a top 30 player. In fact, if I go and have a look at his numbers in front of me, he's probably ranked a little bit higher than that, putting up some really, really strong numbers. Let's have a look how it's changed over the last time I did this. He was like the 22nd ranked player. He is, over the last 2 weeks, the on the nose, the 20th ranked player, John Isaac. So that increase in offensive responsibility is massive for him. Really, he's a clear must roster player across all leagues. Evan Fournier, 22-6-4, strong from him. Augustin, only the 20 minutes, 2 points, 5 rebounds and 6 assists. He's always just been this streaming sort of guy. While Terry Ross, not the best night for Rossi, 3 points in 18 minutes. Not his best performance quite clearly, but he is a name that you still have as a 12-team league guy. Now, on the Pelicans, I did tweet this out today saying that, I had some thoughts, and I don't want to go too much into who's right and who's wrong in this situation. There's been a lot of bullshit going on. I've lost a bit of respect for Anthony Davis over this process, the whole clutch sports stuff. The Pelicans haven't handled it perfectly as well. There's a lot going on, but it is a complete, it's an absolute shit show in New Orleans with how this situation is going. Now, initially, when we were talking about these fears of Anthony Davis never playing for the Pelicans again, I said, I am really, really confident that he will play again. The league will not allow this to happen. And that turned out to be right. Now, in terms of how he's playing, one game he played 24 minutes and sat out the entire fourth quarter. And then in a back-to-back, he played 35 minutes with almost no usage. And then in today's game, we saw Anthony Davis play 24 minutes and was 1 of 9 and was clearly not interested. I think a large part behind the NBA making the Pelicans play him is they didn't want him sat out healthy as a member of the Pelicans, going to the All-Star break, playing in the All-Star game, and then coming back and not playing again. Right? They didn't want that to happen. With some of the stuff that's coming out, with the absolute ineptitude of the way Davis is handling himself on the court at the moment, and the shit show around this team, the words coming out of the Pelicans organization from Elvin Gentry, we got to focus on these young guys, I don't want to talk about Davis anymore, makes me think that the idea to keep playing him will be revisited, and he will stop playing at some point after the All-Star break. It might not be the first game back, but I can absolutely 100% see Anthony Davis not finishing this season out with how, and initially I thought that he would, you know, they would play it out, but again, seeing it on the court, with the NBA coming out and denying that there was a $100,000 per game fine, is giving the Pelicans leeway to do this, especially when they're seeing how this plays out on the floor. And I have a source who has sources with the Pelicans who has told me that they will 100% be revisiting this after the All-Star break, with the possibility, and me inferring there, that they'll be revisiting this idea of Davis playing. And I feel pretty good that at some point post All-Star break, relatively soon post All-Star break, these are my words, not his, that he will stop playing. So what does this mean for Davis in fantasy? Well, we've got a week to try and work it out. I think if, you know, people don't have it necessarily. Now, I could be completely wrong on this. My gut, and then it was backed up by my source with sources, who told me that this year, this is what they're looking at doing. It's all marrying in. You're just taking the tenor of words coming out of both sides. It makes me think that, again, this is as embarrassing as embarrassing, if not more embarrassing, than him playing for the Pelicans. And I think something will actually happen here. So getting back any sort of value in a Davis trade, depending on who you're trading with, might be something that's absolutely worth looking into. I thought they would be able to sustain it, and when that initial came down, I thought, yeah, that's fine. He's going to keep going. I think if I set the over under of 5 more games for Davis in a Pelicans uniform, I would take the under. And that's complete guessing from me. That's not sourced material or anything along those lines. But that's the way that I'm looking at this for Davis and the Pelicans. This was just a complete disaster. It doesn't help that the starting lineup was a disaster. Anthony Davis started at power forward next to Jahlil Okafor, who played 29 minutes and had 8 and 7. That means maybe you want to go and add Okafor as an option. But the game before Davis returned, remember, Okafor only played 24 minutes, and he has been bad since Randall returned, not really since Davis returned. So that's something worth noting there as well. Randall he only played 22 minutes here. Holiday just 24. Well, Etuan Moore moved into the starting lineup at the expense of Frank Jackson. So whatever Gentry wants to say about, we're going to develop Frank, and then you take him out of the starting lineup and play Tim Frazier 31 minutes. Gentry, you can go piss off as well, because that's obviously a load of shit what you're talking about there. Kenrick Williams, 2 and 7 in 32 minutes, a disaster from Kenrick. At least he got a steal. I think he had one steal throughout his entire NBA career up until this game, and that was one of his strengths back at TCU, so at least he got those numbers. He is a hold at this point. Etuan Moore had 19 points on 62% shooting. He's a guy that I would hold on to at this point. Sorry, try again. I'm flustered. I think he's a guy that we don't necessarily hold on to. He's more of a stream option off the waiver wire. That's probably all we're at Etuan Moore. We have a look at Darius Miller, who had a significantly lower role here as well, 21 minutes. It is a bit of a disaster, this team. There's going to be shit happening all over the season. I think Drew and Randall, we feel pretty okay about them, and their minutes were reduced in this game because it was a blowout. Next up, it was the Celtics and the Sixers. Boston win 112-109. Horford was great, 23-8-5 with 4 steals, while Gordo Hayward, no Kyrie, so Hayward played well. 26 points on 73% shooting, unlikely to stick. 6 triples, 3 assists, and a steal. If Irving is out for one more game on Wednesday, maybe you stream Hayward in, but with 11 games on, he's probably not going to be in your active roster. Marcus Morris, 17-8, while Rozier, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. If Rozier has another big game and you're in a dynasty league, I don't believe in Terry Rozier as a very good player. I think people have designs on him as his top 30. Man, he's such a star. I think if he becomes a starting point guard in the NBA, he's maybe a top 25 starting point guard in the NBA, and nowhere near as good as what his reputation might suggest. So I think that if you're looking to trade him in a dynasty league, if I could get a top 40 asset back, and depending on who you're trading with, people might value him that way, I would do it. Now, there's a chance that he turns into that guy. I just don't necessarily believe that he will. It was a shit night for Marcus Smart as well. 8 points on 14 shots. That field goal percentage was disastrous. For the Sixers, Embiid played 37 minutes. 23-14 with two blocks. The percentages suffered, but the numbers are nice otherwise. General Saunders, 22-9 for Jim Butler, and Reddick had 16. It wasn't a good Toby Harris night. 10-8 in 35 minutes. The efficiency will be better. He shot 29% from the field, but these are the sort of nights with a usage of just 20% that does worry me about Harris and where that value goes. We saw Brett Brown talk about a tournament for minutes between Furkan Korkmaz, John Simmons, and Jim Ennis. Ennis was the odd man out today. It could easily be Korkmaz on Wednesday. It could be Simmons. There's going to be rotating value for deeper leagues in those guys, but absolutely nothing consistent. Where Boban continues to look lost. Brown continues to say that we're going to force him out there every night and be an every night part of the rotation. There's just some teams and there's just some situations where it's not going to work, and he really is just that deeper league sort of a player. The next game that we take a look at, we've got, which one is it? It's the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies. Patty Mills was great. 22 points in 27 minutes as the Spurs win 108-107. He hit six triples. He's been a very strong three-point stream all season, along with Marco Bellinelli, who hit just one here, and Davis Bertans, who hit four in the starting lineup. The Spurs' next game comes after the All-Star break, and there's a chance Derek White could return, so that could put a pin in Mills and Bertans, who've been seeing their minutes elevated with White sidelined. Rudy Gay had 15-12-8, strong from him. Aldridge 22-11 with four blocks, massive. And someone tweeted at me that they were able to trade Davis away for LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that's a pretty solid win given my fears with Davis at this point. DeRozan 12-6-5 in 41 minutes on 26% shooting. So a shit night from DeRozan, pretty clearly. For the Grizzlies, my man Jonas Valanciunas, 21 minutes, 23-10. He's a clear must-roster player. If he was a 30-minute-a-night guy, he would be that player like Nikola Vucevic, who could be getting top 20, top 30 type numbers. I don't think he's going to get that playing time here, but this was massive. We also had 18 unnecessary minutes from Joakim Noah, 8-4-4 with two steals. And with Valanciunas back, Ivan Rabb only played 11 minutes. But now, everyone will be quick to drop Rabb after this, and I understand that. He got two fouls in the first 3 minutes of this game, and then he was pulled off.
Giggity!
If he didn't get those two fouls, would he have played 21 minutes? Would he have played 25 minutes? It's really hard to know, but we saw Valanciunas get himself established after that. Noah played some decent ball as well, and that helped the overall value there, and that did impact Rabb. Now, Bickerstaff coming out, oh, he's putting the work, he's going to be the starter. Look, that was always bullshit when it happened, and he should never have anointed Rabb at the starter. Valanciunas is the guy who you got back as part of the Gasol deal that you should be trying to see, hey, can this guy be our starter? But Bickerstaff, being, again, the worst coach in the NBA non-Boylan division, decided against that. I think these 11 minutes for Rabb are not indicative of what happens moving forward. The two early fouls implicated or impacted that. But there is a real worry with him moving forward that he maybe is not a 12-team league guy, and instead of being a 28-minute-a-night guy, maybe he's a 23 minutes. They should just take Noah out of the rotation and run Rabb, Valanciunas, and Jackson to see what these guys can do, but that doesn't look like it's going to necessarily happen. Triple J struggled with some fouls in this one. What a stunner. 9-5 in 24 minutes. Justin Holiday had 11 points in his 35, while D'Lon Wright started for Conley. Wasn't good offensively with his scoring, 4 points on 9 shots, but 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal and a block. This is why I like D'Lon for fantasy, because he doesn't rely upon scoring, and then when the shots do fall at a decent rate, 12-8-6 with a steal and a block, he's a massive night. Now, when Conley back, that's going to impact D'Lon. They should be starting him at shooting guard, but of course, Avery Bradley has to be there. I still would be holding on to D'Lon in absolutely every 14-team league, and he's available in 91% of Yahoo leagues at the moment. But even in 12s, I'd be holding on to D'Lon. Now, Bruno Caboclo's second 10-day contract expired today, but the Grizzlies have signed him to a multi-year contract, really reminiscent of what they did with Marshawn Brooks last season, and then, of course, they brought Brooks back the season after and didn't play him at all. But Caboclo's been putting up okay numbers, but you fear that the 21 minutes that he played here are going to disappear when Kyle Anderson eventually returns, which let's hope that's at some point soon. Next up, or last up, is the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors win 115-108. Gobert had 13-16, while Favors had 13-7 with 4 blocks. Strong from Derek. He's more of just a back-end 12-team league guy. Ravishing Rick Rubio had 16-4-6, and the Donovan Mitchell.
He's Don. He's good.
25-7 with 3 triples, just shitful percentages and just a sky-high usage because nobody else can take a shot on this team. It wasn't a good Jingling Joe Ingles night, only 5 points for Ingles. He only took 2 shots for a minuscule usage of 6%, 5 rebounds, 4 assists provide a little bit of value for Ingles, but his numbers have not been great. I still think he's a hold for his ability to get assists, hit some threes, and he is still the 83rd ranked player this season, 90th over the last 3 months, 70th over the last 2 weeks. Still a guy that we want to hold on to, but his value has definitely declined from where it was last season. And not much else to talk about with the Jazz. Jay Crowder struggled. For the Warriors, Steph was pretty strong. 25, 5 and 4, 4 steals and 2 blocks. So those rare defensive numbers. Well, Iguodala, who was questionable at the start of the day, 13, 5 and 3, 3 steals and 3 triples. Boogie Cousins played 28 minutes. I think post All-Star, he's going to be playing 30. The efficiency was a disaster. He was 4 of 17 for 24% and 3 of 5 from the line. But 12, 10 and 5 with 2 steals are some nice counting stats. And Durant had 28 with 7 assists. And Draymond had 6, 7 and 6 with 2 steals and 2 blocks in what could be one of the most Draymond Green lines ever. That will wrap it up for the action from Tuesday. Let's now move ahead to talk some DFS for Wednesday's big slate. But before we talk DFS for Wednesday's slate, let's look at the perfect lineups on DraftKings. Avery Bradley and Reggie Bullock, LeBron James, Al Horford, Nick Vucevic, Trae Young, Rudy Gay, and Jonas Valanciunas for a total of $406.75, and that cost $49,600. And on FanDuel, Trae Young, Isaiah Briscoe, Reggie Bullock, Avery Bradley, LeBron James, Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford for a total of $392, and that cost $59,100. All right, guys, let's look at DFS now. We've got a huge DFS day for Wednesday coming up, 11 games as the league prepares to shut itself down for the All-Star break. We're going to be looking at these 11 games from a DraftKings perspective. I think a lot of weird shit's going to go on this day, and with 11 games on it, it's a pretty interesting day to at least limit some of your DFS exposure, because, you know, at least trying to field a consistent cash lineup with so many options around, it gets harder, but also with the uncertainty of the break coming up, some weird injuries, some guys sitting down. I think all that stuff is a possibility to happen on this day, and of course on Thursday as well. The first game we look at, the Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Nets are 6.5 point favorites here, and the total is 221. For the Cavs, Chetty Osman and Ante Zizic are both questionable. They've missed the last couple of games. Osman with that ankle issue, and Zizic with that back issue. And for the Nets, Damari Carroll missed last game, but he has been upgraded to probable. Of course, if Zizic and Osman are out, then it boosts value for guys like Brandon Knight, Larry Nance. Kevin Love should see some more minutes, but I wouldn't expect a full 30-minute performance. Nowhere near that. In mid-20s is probably more likely for Love here. Then you get guys like Dengadel, perhaps. You get Nwaba pushing over 30 minutes, and that whole rotation continues to be somewhat of a mess in Cleveland. Let's look at the point guards here. D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson at 85 and 53, both former Lakers. I like both of them in this scenario, especially Russell at 8,500, who's got a super positive matchup. LeVert at 5,200. The shot hasn't gone in very much the first couple of games back, but I do like his salary here, and I like the matchup for Karras. You should be looking at 25 to 30 points here. I think his minutes push back up as well. The Padawan Colin Sexton's at 49. He's just quietly, and maybe it's not that quiet, but he is putting together a nice string of games, averaging 31 over the last five. It's a good matchup for Sexo here. I think at 4,900, I think he is absolutely in play. It is always risky to consider him a cash guy, but this is the scenario where you'd want to do it. Brandon Knight, I think his minutes will still be too limited, but if you want to get weird at 3,200, he could be a starter once again if Osman is out. And then Dellavedova had 26 points in 27 minutes last game, and at 3,300, if we have Osman sidelined, I think Dally at 3,300 would be at least an interesting guy to take a look at. Smokin' Joe Harris at 46, he's putting up strong numbers. I think a real solid cash floor guy. While the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, I love that salary for Crabby, 3,700. He had 31 points last game. His minutes jumped up. Now, I think they might come back down with Carroll likely to play, or they could just excise Shabazz Napier from the rotation, run LeVert as the backup point guard, and keep Crabb's minutes higher. I think he's still more tournament than anything else. Nwaba, he's not really doing it for me. Other small forwards, you've got Carroll at 46, probably not interesting enough there, while Chetty Osman at 56, who was playing quite well before his ankle injury. I'm not ready to jump back on there. Rowdy Rodions, Kurucs, and Trevion Graham, they're not working for me either. The big men, Jarrett Allen at 5,000. He has been, I guess, quietly consistent with a low score in his last five of just 23, which is strong as a floor. a solid enough matchup for him here as well, while Larry Nance is only at 6,700. This bloke's averaging 41 points over the last five, with the potential of Zizic sitting out here as well, and a really positive matchup. I like Nance quite a bit. I dislike Rondae Hollis-Jefferson as an option, despite him being down at 3,900, and Kevin Love at 7,000 is just too high. Marquise Chris, sub 4,000. He dropped 27 points last game, and if Zizic is out, I think that Chris is an option. If Zizic plays, I think it might be a little bit hard for Marquise to get just enough playing time to be relevant. Let's look over on FanDuel now for this game. Love is much more reasonable there, 5,200. He could easily get to that number if the minutes are increased, as I expect. He had 23 points in 16 minutes last game. I like Russell at 9,000, LeVert at 52. He has to be in play. Jarrett Allen at 57 also, and Smokin' Joe Harris at 53. Some decent value there. I think Jordy Clarkson might be pushed a little bit too far on FanDuel, up at 6,200. Next up, we've got the Bucks and the Pacers. The Bucks are 4.5-point favorites, and the total is 218 here. This is an upper-level Eastern Conference matchup. Two top four seeds who could find themselves meeting perhaps in the second round of the playoffs. Should be able to be kept pretty close. At point guard, Darren Collison's at 5,800. That is a rock-solid cash play on DraftKings. I'm not sure his tournament upside is really good, but this is a guy who's just giving us 30 after 30 after 30, and that's really strong with Oladipo out. Brogdon the same at 5,500. He is also rock solid for cash, and with this game likely being closer than some of Milwaukee's past games, I think we see him play those 31 minutes instead of 27. Other point guards, Eric Bledsoe at 6,900.
Giggity!
Bledsoe's averaging 41 the last three times against Indiana. His form has been strong, averaging 39 over the last five games in only 28 minutes. So he, I think, is in play here, although Indiana has been pretty good at limiting opposition point guard production. Wesley Matthews started his first game for the Pacers. He wasn't good. He had 19 points in 30 minutes. It's a $500 price rise for Wes. He's still in play, but really just for tournaments, while Bojan Bogdanovic at 56. I like him in all formats here. Tyreek was also pretty strong off the bench, but I want nothing to do with him. And Chrissy Middleton, again, like Brogdon, like Bledsoe, this game should be a little bit closer, and we might get a few more minutes out of Middleton, but I'd prefer guys like Brogdon and Bledsoe over Chris here. The small forwards, Giannis at 11,200, just lock that in, really strong for cash, massive tournament upside. He's giving us 62 a night over the last five, and that's only in 32 minutes. If he has to push to 35 minutes, then we're going to get some big numbers. Thad Young's at 6,000, I think that's too high for Thad. And then we go to the big man, Miles Turner at 6,600. Has struggled against the Bucks, averaging just 27 the last three times out, but his actual real-life form at the moment, 38 DraftKings points over his last five, is working really, really well, quite obviously blocking a shit ton of shots. So I think he's in play here. I wouldn't be relying upon him significantly, and I definitely wouldn't be relying upon Domantas Sabonis, who is struggling at the moment. Brook Lopez is down to 4,900. I like this matchup a lot for Lopez. He's averaging 31 against the Pacers. I think minutes again will push up. He should be in the upper 20s, low 30s. That's a pretty strong cash scenario. Nick Mirotic has been ruled out, so Ersan Ilyasova and DJ Wilson will likely remain in the rotation for the Bucks, but they're not going to be options. On FanDuel, I like Bojan at 55. I like Yanni at 11.9. Maybe you take a flyer on Tyreek at 38, but probably not. And Wes Matthews at 44. Is that interesting enough? GPP guy. Brogdon and Collison also come in pretty strongly over on FanDuel. Next up, the Washington Wizards and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are 11-point favorites, and the total is 223. Jeremy Lin is likely to make his Raptors debut, which is good because Fred VanVleet is out, and he should step into a solid enough 20-21-minute role, I think, here with the Raptors while VanVleet is sidelined. For the Wizards, Tomas Satoransky missed last game for a personal issue. We don't know if he's going to be ready to go here in this one. Lowry is at 7,300. I really like this matchup for Kyle Lowry. He's putting up some strong numbers of late, and I think this is it's a good opportunity to utilize him. Lin at 43 would just be a tournament sort of a spot. Satoransky's at 59, while prior to him missing, he'd been averaging 32 over the last five. Now, the Raptors are one of the harder teams for opposition point guards to go up against, But I think Satoransky's not a bad cash play. If he is out, we saw very little. Chasen Randall and Jordan McRae took those minutes, and neither of them were great options. You know, tournaments maybe, but even then, a lot of people will be scared off, and rightfully so. Brad Beal at 8,700. He is cranking out consistently good numbers. I like him a lot here for cash. And then you got Dan Green at 41. Storm and Norman Powell at 36. I don't really see the value in any of those guys. At small forward, you got Trevor Ariza at 5,700. Big minutes last time out, 46 points in 40 minutes. He is relatively inconsistent. That's a good price, though, for Ariza. So he should be in play without being a must roster guy. While the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
He is at 9,400, averaging 53 against the Wizards. He was back in business last game. I think that's a pretty good cash option if you don't want to shell out the 11,000 for Antetokounmpo at the small forward position. Jabari Parker was dreadful last game. 8 points in that one. 5,400, he really is just a tournament guy. But I think, as I've mentioned before on this show, the big games he had were a piss-poor opposition and a Jeff Green injury. And we've yet to see him play against a decent opposition with a full roster and see how that pan. Well, actually, no, we did. We saw that last game and he was dreadful. So he's still just more of a tournament guy. I don't see much in Green. I don't see much in OG Anunoby, the Jedi. The big man Siakam's at 6,500. He's been marginally underwhelming, but relatively consistent. And the matchup here is a positive. So this might be one at this salary that I do consider Siakam. Punch Bob's at 6,300. His lowest score in his last five Portis is 36 points. So that's really strong value there. I like him as a floor guy. Ibaka at 61 and Marc Gasol at 68. We saw the minutes again push a little bit towards Gasol last game. I think they'll continue to inch towards him, and maybe we get 25-23 minute splits, which mean it's at prices over 6,000. I really can't see how you can justify using either Gasol or Ibaka in DFS. It could be a little bit of a messy situation for the rest of the year. On FanDuel, I like Punch Bob. I like the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard. Siakam at 68 looks pretty good. Lowry at 8,000 actually comes in relatively strongly as well. Parker at 46 is a much more appealing salary. But again, still, we're looking at him more for tournaments with the uncertainty of how that rotation's going to go. And 9,700 for Brad Beal's big, but he's been exceeding that number. So I don't think you should be completely steering away from Braddles. Next up, the Pistons and the Celtics. The Celtics on a back-to-back. No spread or total out at this point. We don't know at this point if Kyrie, or I don't know at this point at the time of recording, whether Kyrie Irving is going to play. I'd guess no. He didn't join the team on that road trip to Philadelphia. He remained in Boston, but this game is back in Boston, so it's not like he wasn't with the team. He's there when they all come back to Boston, so there's a chance that he plays. I think it's more likely that we get another Terry Rozier start as the team. It just gives Irving that one day off before the All-Star break coming up here, which Irving is slated to play on Sunday in that All-Star game. Marcus Smart's at 48. He struggled against Boston, but I do think that if Irving's out, he would be worth a look again, and I think the roster percentage for Smart would be well down, while Reggie Jackson at 5,600, he has been really, really good of late. I've got no massive issue with using him, apart from the fact that the Celtics' defense is generally pretty solid against opposition point guards. Kyrie's at 94. I want nothing to do with that, while Rozier at 6,900.
Giggity!
He was shit today against the Sixers. The Pistons are a different story, but I think that salary takes all of the value away from Rozier. The Duck, Luke Kennard's at 3,900. He's playing like 28 off the bench the last couple. Had 24 points in 29 minutes last game, and he probably does remain on the bench with either the Duke, Wayne Ellington, or Langston Galloway starting. But I hope that Dwayne Casey has realized that Kennard needs the majority of those minutes, and I think he's worth having a look at a sub 4,000 price. The Duke himself at 38 is only for tournaments. Jaylen Brown is not interesting, and the Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, he is not really, he's not going to be doing it for me here either. Small forward Marcus Morris, 5,000. I think that's pretty solid as a cash option. Gordo Hayward at 48. If Kyrie is out, I'm all about Hayward at 48. I think that's a really good value. And Tatum at 61 also is a massive cash option if Kyrie is sidelined. For the big man, Horford's at 62. He dropped 50 against Embiid in the Sixers. The Drummond matchup might be a little bit tougher. Well, not necessarily tougher, but he has struggled in the past going up against Drummond, averaging just 19 points the last three times against the Pistons in 27 minutes a night. He's interesting enough, but there's enough there to give me a level of pause. Well, Drummond at 9,100, he is on a massive roll. Now, we know that the Celtics and Horford can be quite good defending big men. Drummond has copped out a little bit, but still averaging 46 the last three times against Boston. I think he's a relatively good play one. Griffin at 8,900 also in a pretty rich vein of form, so I'd be interested in using both Griffo and Drummond in this matchup. On FanDuel, Marcus Morris probably comes in the best of the lot at 5,100. A lot of the value is taken away from Kennard, where he's at 46. Reggie Jackson the same. I like Haywood at 53 if Irving sits. Drummond at 10.8 and Griffin at 9.2. I think that's probably a bit too high for Drummo. And that 92 for Griffin, that's not too bad. That's not far away from where you need it. Tatum at 7,200. I think I'd only want to use that if Kyrie is actually out of this game. But that is what we're expecting at this point. Next up, it's the Sixers taking on the New York Knicks. The Sixers are 9.5-point favorites. It's a back-to-back from them. The total is 222.5. There's a huge blowout risk. I also think that there is a real risk that Joel Embiid sits this game. He played a shit ton of minutes against the Celtics. I think they might actually sit him out of this one. Because it's a back-to-back and just to rest him up. So don't be surprised to see him beat out. That would give Boban some value and Jonah Bolden would come in. Now, Boban was terrible against Boston today. He's really struggled so far and he just cannot stay on. Look, and Brett Brown is convinced that he's an every night player. He isn't. And I think the Sixers are going to figure that out pretty quickly, but this could be an opportunity for him here in this one. For the Knicks, injury-wise, Emmanuel Mudiay is doubtful, so he's unlikely to play one game away from the All-Star break. Dennis Smith Jr. is at 6,300. Let's load up on that. I'm big on him. He did struggle last game, but I think he gets that value back pretty comfortably here. Alonzo better than Doncic. Trey is at 3,500, and his minutes have almost been cut in half. He's done. Kadeem Allen, whose minutes are sky high, he's at 4,100. He is absolutely worth taking a flyer on, but of course, it's Fizdale, so he's going to put whatever implement that's next to him as far up your ass as you can possibly get it, just so your lineup gets screwed. Not that he gives a shit about DFS lines. You know what I'm talking about. But Kadeem Allen, look, shout out to him. 40 points last game in 32 minutes. That's a really strong performance, and his salary only at 41, but you should still have that element of caution or apprehension. Benny Simmons at 84, look, a real opportunity to destroy the Knicks here, especially if Embiid sits this one out. Simmons will still be able to put up big numbers. In fact, he's averaging 49 against the Knicks in only 31 minutes the last three times. So that gives me a bit of faith with Simo here. For the shooting guards, Reddick's at 55. Not bad, but I think there's better ones on this slate. Damo Dotson, probably not. Well, General Saunders, Jimmy Butler is at 7,200. I do worry that maybe some of the minutes come off from Butler here as well, and that could be an impact on his overall value. The Fort, Kevin Knox at 4,900. I think it's a reasonably fair price for Knoxie. I don't mind him. More of a tournament guy here. Hezonja, he probably will start, but will it be 25 minutes? Will it be 15 minutes? God knows. Literally, God is the only person who knows. 3,900 for Hezonja here. You may be in a tournament, but again, you're throwing darts at a brick wall, really, with no ability for them to stick in. Toby Harris, 6,800. Yeah, not for me. Prison Mike Scott, James Ennis. There's a three-man weird rotation with Jim Ennis, with John Simmons, and with Furkan Korkmaz. Brett Brown referred to it as a tournament of minutes. So they're going to have rotations in those guys. So you're relying upon any of those guys, and probably two of those three play each night. It's pretty tough at this stage. Vonleh's at 42. Nah. Mitchell Robinson at 41. Yes, in on him. Look, he's just putting up numbers in big minutes, and surely at some point they have to go, well, here's 26 or 27, and then we could very easily be getting 40-point nights out of Mitchell Robinson. In fact, we've had a 40-point night from him already this season. I love this spot for Mitch. Really big on him. DeAndre Jordan, I'm the opposite of loving. And Boban at 38. Yeah, maybe an interesting GPP guy, especially once we hear the status of Embiid. Joel himself at 10,600. It's a massive matchup, a real positive one for him. But I still think that there is a real risk of the minutes being reduced here for big Mr. Process. Over on FanDuel, we've got Kadeem Allen at 4,000, who I like. Kevin Knox at 53. Dennis Smith at 72. Mitchie Robinson at 5,000 as well. Maybe Boban at 38 for those same reasons that I mentioned earlier. And Simo at 8,000. Benny Simmons. I can't say Simmons anymore just for the Sixers because we've got two of them. I think that's the biggest impact John Simmons is going to have is just putting that extra initial when I've got to talk about these players. Let's go on to the next game. It is the Houston Rockets taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota. No spread or total at this point. The Wolves are starting to get their point guards back. Derrick Rose is listed as probable after playing the last game. Jim Harden is also probable. Josh Okogie is dealing with a hip pointer, while Andy Wiggins is questionable with an illness he missed last game. We are going to get another game of Dario Saric starting. He'll be the starter moving forward full time. Whether that means 32 minutes 18 minutes for Taj Gibson remains to be seen. Remember, he was able to get his 32 last game, Saric, and Gibson still played over 20 because Towns got into foul trouble. How Ryan Saunders manages that is still up for debate. Without Towns getting into foul trouble, will Jeng be removed from the rotation? Will Saric go back to 28 minutes? There is a few question marks there indeed. At point guard, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He played 35 minutes and had 43 points last game. I like a sub-6,000 Jeff Teague, so I'm in on him here. Jimmy Harden is down to 11-2 on DraftKings. I'll happily take Harden at 11-2. That's a strong price. While Chrissy Paul at 7,600, he's actually averaging 45 points the last three games. 7,600, I don't see how you can really ignore that. Derrick Rose at 59, I'd find better options than that around, I believe. Eric Gordon's at 45, that's a pretty strong price for Gordo, who is averaging 25 over the last three, so I think he's worth looking at. Gerald Green at 38, some decent games recently, but I don't want to trust that. Wiggins at 65, who'd been putting up strong games before this illness sat him back down, averaging 41 over the last three. I'm still not totally in on Wiggins. Small forwards, we're looking at PJ Tucker, and that's about as much as you should look at PJ Tucker. And then for the big man, Saric at 46, I love that. That is an absolute cash lock, and I think it'll be a lock across all cash sort of lineups and even tournaments. It'll be pretty chalky. Townsy at 10-3, I'm in on him. Your last game might suppress his roster percentage. I think we can get some value back there on him. Fareed's at 6,600. I see no value in Fareed at 66, and by value, I mean you're not exceeding what he's going to do, but in terms of reliability, yeah, it's there. That's a strong cash play with limited tournament upside. Jeng, Nene, Taj Gibson, I don't really see anything with any of those blokes. On FanDuel, I've looked at Kadeem Allen. Don't want to go that game again. Let's look at this game on FanDuel. Got to bring it up now. So we're looking on FanDuel at Teague and Towns as pretty strong options. Saric at 51 looks pretty good as well. Harden at 12.8 might be pushing it a little bit too high there with Paul back. And Chris Paul himself at 8,200. There's marginal value there, but I think we can find better plays across the slate of games. Let's go on to the next game now, the seventh game of the day. The Memphis Grizzlies on a back-to-back. They're traveling to take on the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are favored by 1.5 points here, although that's when I first did this graphic, but I'm looking at this now, and something wild has gone, and it has changed massively to the Bulls by 11.5. That is just come through now, that change in spread. That must mean that Vegas has pretty good information that Mike Conley isn't going to play, so that's really interesting to note, unless there's just a typo on one of the sites, and I'm going to go and check that out now, because that is a huge, huge change in that spread. All right, I can't find any evidence that actual spread change is actually legit, so I'm going to say back that it is the Bulls at 1.5, and we'll see what develops about that Conley situation. But of course, we've got to check out, because Mike Conley was ill on Tuesday, and he wasn't able to play. Chris Dunn is listed as questionable with that bruised tailbone, while Kyle Anderson still don't know whether he is going to be ready to go after dealing with this shoulder soreness. Now, some interesting things happened in this Memphis game today. Let's look at Chris Dunn, though. At $6,000, that's pretty hard to avoid using him. If he is out, Archer Jackineau will start, and he's as hit and miss as they come, way more miss than hit. But Dunn at 6,000 would come in pretty strong. Levine at 7,300 is on a massively strong run at the moment. I like Zach Levine at that price. While if Conley is out, DeLon Wright's at 3,600. He dropped 26 today. That's the great value, and it wasn't even his best game. So I would love using him at that salary. Conley himself at 7,800. Probably a little bit risky to use coming off an illness. Avery Bradley had literally the best game of his career today. 52 DraftKings points at 38 in 38 minutes at 3,400. He won't shoot 73% from the field again, but if Conley is out, he's going to absorb a lot of usage. And of course, shit coaching from JB Bickerstaff does help, but that's a huge performance from Bradley. You are invariably going to be let down, but if Conley is out, the level of letdown will probably still allow him to produce value over that $3,400 mark. A shooting guards, we're looking at Wayne Seldon, Justin Holiday. I don't really see any of those guys unless you want to go full revenge game on Holiday. And then at small forward, Otto Porter at 56. I love that. That is unbelievably rock solid, I think, in cash. Really like that salary for him. Anderson's at 3,900. If Kyle Anderson's back, 3,900 would be worth a tournament look, absolutely. Other small forwards, in Luau Cabro, CJ Miles, I'm not really seeing the value in them. I am seeing it in Jonas Valanciunas, 4,200. He had 40 points in 21 minutes today. I think that Valanciunas has been really dicked around in his NBA career, and if he was playing the minutes that Nick Vucevic was playing in Orlando, that's the sort of player he can be. Now, I don't think that Memphis is going to give him those minutes, but at 4,200, to me, that's an absolute stone-cold lock to be using him at that salary. Lauri Markkanen has been putting up some really strong numbers.
Oh, hi, Mark.
A lot of usage, hitting his shots, averaging 49 over the last five. No reason not to consider him here. While 3,800 for Robin Lopez. I think for cash, Lopez at that price is fine. Now, he had a big game against his brother last time out, 25 points in 33 minutes. That's the upper limit, those minutes, but he is still a pretty strong option. While Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., really tough to rely upon him with the fouls and with the Bickerstaffing. Ivan Rabb, who's going to be starting for the foreseeable future, played 11 minutes in today's game. He's at 5,800. That is too expensive with Valanciunas around. I wouldn't want anything to do with Rabb at that sort of a salary. While Joakim Noah stole 18 minutes as well. He's at $4,000. Yeah, a couple of strong games in a row from Noah. I still have my concerns. Is he going to be the guy that plays every minute of the game? Or is he going to play these minutes, or is he going to be out of the rotation entirely? You could see a Rab Valanciunas Jackson front court, which is exactly what the Grizzlies should be doing. But of course, JB, my mate, in there throwing weird ass darts around. Let's go on to the next one into this game on FanDuel. I love Porter. I love Valanciunas. Both look strong. Markkanen and Levine at 85 and 8,000 respectively also come in pretty good. 45 from Robin Lopez is not a bad cash option, while Kyle Anderson is nowhere near as appealing on FanDuel as what he may seem on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game. We've got the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are 2.5-point favorites, and the total here is 208. The Heat rotations are impossible. No idea what's going to happen from James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk. Bam Adebayo, Hassan Whiteside. Who knows how any of that shit's going to go down, because it seemingly changes with no apparent reason. For Dallas, Salah Mejri could be back with the team. They waived him and then re-signed him. I don't know if he's necessarily a part of the every night rotation, though, but before he was waived, he was the starting center over Maxi Kleber. But I think they're going to go with that Brunson, Hardaway, Finney Smith, Doncic, Kleber look more often than not. Wade is at 4,800. Dwayno, I like what he's doing at that salary. I think he's a pretty good option. Well, Doncic at 8,800, really, really strong for Donch over on DraftKings. I like that salary. Trey Burke at 36, probably not. Well, the burner, Jalen Brunson at 39, I'm not sure the upside is really interesting enough. Deion Waiters at 43. Even last game where he was shit, he still had 25 points, and at 4,300, that's not a bad floor to be at. And that 35 point upside is in play here at 4,300. So an interesting tournament guy. Timmy Hardaway really only for tournaments with how fluky his play has been. And Joshy Richardson at 63. I'll probably fade Richo at that salary. Finney Smith's at 4,000. He's giving us 20 a night, so that's fine. Now, for cash, his upside's limited, but for cash, I think his floor feels relatively solid, as does his role, and that's pretty much all you can ask for. And then for the big men, Dwighty Powell at 4,400. I like Powell here more than Kleber. I have no trust in Whiteside, although he has averaged 31 minutes the last three times against Dallas and 41 points. So that is absolutely worth bearing in mind. And if you're going to throw someone in a tournament, he does have that 50-point upside that could really differentiate you from other people's lineups. Big Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
3,800 for Bam. Really, again, hard to work out the rotations there. When Kelly Olynyk at 4,000, he has been shit. He's been good. I'm not going to give him the drop because Aminu has taken that one back. But he has been up and down, really tough to rely upon. Same with Jimmy Johnson, who invariably does not make us proud. Let us go on to FanDuel for this one. I think Waiters again at 52, there's some upside. Doncic at 98, I don't mind. Whiteside, that same sort of a story at 7,700 with some upside. 57 there for Dwayno. And Justice Winslow, I think, comes in a little bit of a better option on FanDuel over at 5,900. The next game up that we're going to look at is the Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are 7.5-point favorites. They've been sliding. The total is 229.5. The Kings need this win for them, you know, to get themselves really into that playoff spot, especially with the Lakers loss today. It's going to be a pretty interesting game. Isaiah Thomas has been upgraded to questionable for this game. He'll find out early in the morning whether he plays. His spot in the rotation is going to be really interesting. He can't take it away from Monty Morris, who's been excellent. Gary Harris is out.
Nice, Gary!
So maybe there's some minutes there. Is Torrey Craig or Juancho Hernangómez going to cede their minutes to Thomas? How he fits in is going to be really, really interesting to see. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray's at 6,200. I'd only want to use him in tournaments, but it is a positive matchup. While Beasley at 5,200. I just don't see the great floor value in him because of his inability to contribute in anything outside of points, and Thomas returning could be a bit of a curious one there with Malik. 7,500 for De'Aaron Foxy Fox, who's been quite up and down of late. I wouldn't be falling all over myself to get him in there. And, of course, Monty Morris, who had 34 points in 28 minutes last game. If Thomas is back, how that works is still a big, big question mark. Isaiah's at 4,000. If you believe in Isaiah Thomas, which I don't after this injury, then yeah, maybe you want to take a flyer on it. I probably don't. Farton Will Barton has been, what's the word? Shit. He's at 5,500. So that does make me at least get some interest in him for tournaments, but he has not been good this season. While Bogdan Bogdanovic at 4,900, the minutes are 31, they're 27, they're a little bit all over the place. He's a tough one to completely peg, but I like him as a player. He's averaging 32 over the last three, old Bogdan, and at 4,900, maybe for a tournament. Budrick's at 66, that's probably a little bit too high for Hield. The pencil, Harrison Barnes at 5,000. Yeah, I'm going to say that's a no from me. Trey Lyles also. And then for the big men, Nikola Jokic, 10,100. Lock it in. I'm banging it in. 50 points. This should be coming for Jokic. He has been on a real roll. While Paul Millsap came off the bench last game, he had 31 points on the back of a lot of defensive stats. I'm not ready to roll with him. 5,900 for old Marvin Bagley. It's pretty high. Look, he did have 46 last game. He had 44 last time against Denver, which is obviously a really, really strong number. I'd only be looking in tournaments because he had 32 minutes last game and then 20 minutes the game before that as they try and work out what they're doing with Barnes and those lineups. So that is a bit of a concern for Bags. While Cauley Stein's at 5,300, his recent big games have been on the back of unsustainable block rates, so I'm not all that interested there. While Mason Plumlee, averaging 33 over the last three, but unfortunately his salary is up at that same level, 5,700, and my faith in him remaining at a 30-minute-a-night guy is pretty low, unfortunately. On FanDuel, we're looking at Jokic at 10.9. I'm interested in that. Barton at 5.9 and Beasley at 54. I think Beasley at 54 on FanDuel is a much better option than what he comes in on DraftKings. Same with Fox, who looks like a better play there. And even Bagley at 65 has got maybe a little bit more value over on the old FanDuel. Next up, the Warriors and the Blazers. The Warriors are on a back-to-back. We've already ruled out Sean Livingston and DeMarcus Cousins. Klay Thompson dislocated his finger today. I wouldn't be surprised if he rests. This could be just a real weird Warriors game with some guys resting. They are 4.5-point favorites, and the total is 235 points. At point guard, Steph's at 9,200. He hasn't been himself of late, but he's got a good record against Portland. More of a tournament guy than anything. While Lillard at 86 is on a real strong run, I like Lillard here to be at least a 45-point sort of a player. I think he looks to be a pretty strong option. McCollum at 6,900.
Giggity.
He is struggling. The shot is not falling. It would only be in tournaments that I'd be interested in old Siege. With Livingston out, Quinn Cook likes to gets more run. I don't really think we need to see too much with that. Klay Thompson at 65, I think there's a real risk he doesn't play. Iguodala, also a risk that he doesn't play. Rocket Rodney Hood at 3,900, no interest. Same with Evan Turner. Durant's at 93. I think Durant will play, and I think he could get a large load here.
Giggity.
54-point average the last three times against Portland is pretty strong, and there's some value in Durant. He'd be the guy out of him and Clay and Curry that I'd feel more comfortable using. Now, with Boogie out, we're going to get some more Kevon Looney minutes, so at 3,700, he is an interesting GPP sort of a guy. You get some more minutes for Yunus Shcherbakov, and Jordan Bell will likely enter the rotation, but I think we just go back to a three-man rotation there at center with a little bit more Draymond Green, although he is also a chance to rest, and if Draymond sits, then they're going to bump Looney's minutes up. And then at 3,700, he could become a cash option there. And the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, I don't really have any interest in him.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He's at 4,500. His last game was good. He's done well against the Warriors, but I don't really see the value. But I do see it in Jusuf Nurkić. 7,400 for Nurk. He's averaging 43 the last three times against the Warriors. Centers in general have been putting up pretty okay numbers against Golden State this season, so I'm okay with Nurkić to be used in this matchup. Over on FanDuel, Nurk again at 84. Now, it's a much more elevated price, but he's still pretty interesting. Well, Durant at 9.9 also has some decent value, and McCollum at 6,600. He is way more appealing on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. The last game we look at, the Phoenix Suns and the Clippers. No spread or total for this one. We're just waiting to hear on the status of Tyler Johnson, apparently, who's questionable with an ankle sprain. TJ Warren and DeAnthony Melton are out for Phoenix. At point guard, Beverly's at 5,000. It's not bad for Bev. I don't dislike it. I don't love it. There is something there. Tyler Johnson at 45 would just be for tournaments, while Booker at 83, I'm in on him at that salary. Gilgeous Alexander, again, just tournaments. Doc is dicking him around. Louis Williams, 7,100. He dropped 52 last game. It's not like the defense is going to be much better in this game for him to go up against a pretty strong option at 7,100. And then we go on to the shooting guards. Oubre's at 57. A really disappointing game last time for Cali, but I do think that at that sort of a salary, you can get back on the horse and feel pretty good about it. Shamet's at 4,000. He dropped 27 last game. It did take 33 minutes, and he is so really reliant upon three-pointers, and that's really about it. I don't know if he's a massive DFS value here. While McCall Bridges for $800 more, he is averaging 29 over the last five, and he does it in a variety of different ways. So I think McCall is probably a better option than Shamet here. Jermichael Green at 34, no interest in that. The Rooster at 7,000, a big $1,000 salary jump for Danilo Gallinari. I still think that he is in play here, and it's a great opportunity defensive matchup-wise, averaging 45 the last three times out against Phoenix. Joshie Jackson at 5,900, also really rolling at the moment, averaging 39 in his last five. Happy to use Joshie Jackson here. And then for the big men, I love DeAndre Ayton, 6,700. We know that centers go off against the Clippers. This is a great opportunity for him. Well, Zubats had 4 points in 15 minutes last game. That was disappointing. He's at 4,000, but it's a positive matchup for centers, so he would at least be in my GPP pool, while Montrezl Harrell at 6,900.
Giggity!
Struggled against Phoenix, only averaging 27 the last three, but coming off some pretty strong games of his own. I think that might be just a little bit too high there for the table. Over on FanDuel, Ayton, Gallinari, strong options. Zubats at 42, more of that tournament upside player. Booker at 84 also comes in, looking relatively strong. Let's go now to have a look at the studs and the values across the slate. On DraftKings, I like Doncic as my stud, and my value is Jonas Valanciunas. On FanDuel, my stud is Nurkić, and my value is DeAndre Ayton. On Yahoo, my stud is D'Angelo Russell, and my value is the Duck minimum salary Kennard. And on DraftStars, my stud is Karl Anthony Towns, and my value is, of course, the Duck. Luke Kennard at a barely above minimum salary price. That'll do it for today. Guys, don't forget, go ahead and vote for this show on the Australian Podcast Awards site. That would be awesome if you could help me out. One day of voting left, and if just half the people that listen to this podcast voted, I would smash the number one spot pretty comfortably. So if you could do that for me, it takes about 2 minutes. It would be greatly appreciated. Go review this show, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify. You know what? Don't do that today. Just go vote at the Australian Podcast Awards. And on YouTube, hit the subscribe, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment. You guys know the drill. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. JaVale McGee.